On the mortal plane, Mot Elson unleashes another torrent of divine flame into the collected worshippers of Keishi. Empowered by the touch of his patron deity, the cleric of Mera had been making substantial headway against the seemingly innumerable necromancers present. Still, he has much standing between him and his goal of rescuing the captives on the altar. The god of the necromancers looked on in frustration as the lone Mera cleric cut through his army of followers.
How much power does one of you need to strike him down? Quash the Mera pest, or the Eternity Bargain is out of the question. He won't let any of it happen.
Yes, but how are we to fight him? It's as though he was blessed by Mera herself. He does not tire. He does not waver. He does not stop.
By knowing that we have more faith in our merciful god Keishi than any one mortal could have in Mera. By knowing Keishi loves everything we do, and that our god, our patron leader, would not condemn us for the abilities we were born with.
The second in command of the group produced her wand. She looked around at the fallen and smiled.
Carry my will and force it onto them, my enemies.
The necromancer waved her wand. The fallen followers of Keishi were soon animated. The dead pushed themselves up, and despite the state of their bodies, stood where they had died only moments prior.
Of course.
Mot angrily brings down his scythe, slamming the blunt end of the weapon against the floor of the cave. Holy fire erupts around him, serving as a barrier between himself and the risen necromancers. The cleric contemplates his position as he examines the room. From the spot near the entrance of the cave, where Mot had stood when calling for Mera's aid, a bright light shines forth as the four deities step onto the mortal plane. Mera, still frantic as she searched the room for sign of her clergy. Mikhail, curious as he sipped at the tea that he had brought along with him. Barbas, enthusiastic about the sensations swirling in the air. Tahir, frustrated for much the same reasons as Barbas.
So, what is happening that was so urgent, Mera?
Oh, and why is the air so thick with self-righteous indignation?
Yes. What is this wonderful place you have brought us to?
Keishi?
Mikhail, tea still in hand, frowns deeply.
That would explain the rather large, unpleasant-looking fellow in the back, then.
And the presence of your clergy explains all of the fear.
And all of them explain the self-righteousness.
And I already know how I can be helpful here.
Please, do.
The god of fear stepped forward. After a moment, he knelt down. Barbas then brought his hands together and pulled them apart. Between his palms was a red-colored orb. The fear god set down the orb, then stood.
Who are they?
And what is he doing?
Come here, girl. Come here.
After a moment, the orb took the form of a small canine.
There's a good girl. Go, have fun, fetch.
The small canine turned towards the mortals. She took off running toward the ritual area. After a moment, the canine took the shape of a giant arachnid.
And what, may I ask, was that?
And why is his name Fetch?
She's a Rougarou. A monster that turns into whatever mortals fear most. And her name is Fetch because I make her fetch mortals who have disappointed me. Like so.
I see. How curious, this pet of yours.
And that she knows not to harm my clerics.
Those ones are already living their worst fears. Or rather, they were about to.
And Mott?
The one you blessed, who has himself wrapped in fire?
Yes, that one.
I like him. He is complex. Your other clerics here are, too. I wouldn't worry about it. Fetch cannot take the form of what they fear. They'll be fine.
That is good to know.
So, how would you like us to handle Keishi?
If we should successfully remove his followers here from the equation, that ought to make Keishi himself no threat to us.
Well, some of them are preoccupied. What else is there to do?
Perhaps we give this mutt a hand in dispatching them as well.
I personally want nothing to do with any of these self-righteous mortals.
There's a good girl. Go. Have fun, Fetch.
I suppose so.
Personally, I believe this is a good time to allow one of my pets to stretch as well.
Mikhail snaps his fingers, a summoning circle appearing beside him. From within the circle, a small wyvern crawls forth out of the ethereal plane. The god of war smiles broadly and stoops down to pet the wyvern's head.
Ah, who's a good boy? It's you, isn't it, Draghi? Yes, you are.
His dragon does exist.
More of a wyvern than a dragon.
Bite your tongue. Draghi is a magnificent creature, and I will hear no disparagement of him. Don't you listen to them, Draghi. You are a phenomenal little dragon. Do you want to play?
The wyvern trills happily.
Excellent! Then go play with those mortals over there. But do be gentle with the spider creature. That's Barbus's pet.
With another happy trill, Draghi flaps his wings and begins to move forward towards the worshippers of Keishi. Meanwhile, Keishi, looking around at the chaos caused by the god's interference, decides to take action himself. With two of Mera's followers incapacitated and the third preoccupied, he sets his sights on the two. The necromancer god makes his way across the room toward the two Mera clerics.
Oh, you two will make fine additions to my followers.
What is this heretical creature talking about? It's not gonna hurt us. It can't hurt us. Mera will protect us.
Keishi reaches down and touches each of the cleric's faces.
Oh, you are so big. Probably strong. And you, if I let you keep just enough of your intellect, you can still use magic. Yes, I think I will do that. My new pets.
We are not becoming his pets. Mera will protect us. Life, death, and rebirth as you wish it to be. Life, death, and rebirth as you wish it to be.
Shh. Don't fuss. It will all be over in mere moments.
The necromancer's god cradles the faces of the two Mera clerics.
Sir Mera, those are two of your clergy, yes? Would you perhaps like us to stop Keishi from doing whatever it is he's planning to do?
If you can, do so. Of course, if he plans to take my followers...
Mera reaches out, her essence seeking out the souls of the fallen worshippers of Keishi.
Then perhaps he will not be so bothered if I should take his and give them to the afterlife that they deserve as my children.
The fighting continues with Keishi followers attempting to stave off the assault of the two pets of gods. Barbas's fixedness on the two divine pets is immediately interrupted. The fear god appears at the source of intense terror. He looks down at the helpless Mera clerics, and then at the necromantic patron.
No, no. I wouldn't do that if I were in your position.
Get in my way, and you open up your clergy to my wrath.
I'd look at my surroundings before I slighted yet another god.
What?
So few who believe in your powers and promises are left alive. And the ones who are still breathing, they're preoccupied with my domain.
Keishi looks around at the remainder of the clerics who had summoned him. Barbas seizes both of Keishi's wrists.
You insignificant excuse for a god. Your domain is the creation of mortals, terrified to the point of despondence, with no hope or reason left in their hearts. Your existence is not a counterpoint to Mera's. It is simply a plagiarized bastardization of me. Remember that as you wallow in sorrow at the thought of your useless excuse for clerics.
What happened? When did Barbas get over there?
And rather more to the point, exactly how messy do you think it will be if Keishi does not listen to his warning?
I can hardly leave with you still restraining me.
Barbas looks down at Keishi's wrists.
You're a god, right? You can willingly disappear and reappear at will, then.
Carry my will and force it onto them, my enemies. Lord Keishi!
The necromancer's god appears at the side of his follower. A brief moment later, he and the necromancer disappear from the cave.